So I'll talk a little bit now about the four foundations. As I mentioned, the first foundation is the body. And the Satipatthana Sutta, I'll put these words in the chat since it's in the Pali language. Having some technical challenges. Here we go. So that's the name of the teaching, the Satipatthana Sutta, in the Pali language of the time of the Buddha. And sati you may understand as mindfulness, and patthana is the foundations. So it's literally translated as the foundations of mindfulness. And the way I understand that is that there are four places where the Buddha talked about our being able to pay attention in a way that would be leading to release, to freedom from suffering. And I like to always try to remember when I'm sharing the Dharma to remind us all that this is about leading to freedom. This is about the end of stress, the end of despair, the end of, it's not the end of pain, as we'll talk about a little bit later, but it's the end of that added pain that we bring through not understanding the way things are, who the Buddha called uninstructed worldlings, those who haven't heard the Dhamma. So the first foundation is the body. And the way he starts talking about the body, he's got a lot of practice looking at the body in different ways. And when I've done the 3-month retreat there at Insight Meditation Society in Barre, Massachusetts, they often start the 3-month retreat, which, by the way, the whole thing is based on the Satipatthana Sutta. And most of the retreats that we'll do are really based on the Satipatthana, and they give it different names like mindfulness and loving kindness. So the mindfulness part is Satipatthana Sutta, and they also, the teachers will often talk about metta or loving kindness, because that's an essential part of the practice as well. So tonight is that one wing of it, the mindfulness practice. So when they start the 3-month retreat at IMS, they often use the phrase, there is a body. It's something that we can go back to again and again during meditation practice. There is a body. And so I wanted to guide us a little bit in that tonight, just to remind us that it is always here. It is always in the present. And it is actually always changing, which is another one of those core truths from the Buddha about impermanence. The Satipatthana Sutta is alive in all of the Buddha's teachings, in all of the different branches. It's one of the teachings that all of the different Buddhists around the world will follow. It's a core teaching in that way. So there is a body. And one of the first ways we can start to practice is with the breath. And the ways that we can understand the breath and pay attention to the breath, the Buddha gave the instruction of like noticing when the breath is long and when it's short. And that's really going to go throughout the Satipatthana Sutta, is just to notice how things are. It's not about judging it or changing it or wanting something different. Or if we are doing that, just noticing that too. So is the breath long? Is it short? Just knowing I'm breathing in and out. Another of the instructions around the body is sensitive to the entire body. And it's not clear if it means, some people, you know, translate that as the body, the physical body, and some translate that as the body of the breath itself, like the rising and falling of the breath, but sensitive to the entire process. Another way to practice with the breath is calming the bodily fabrication, is what it's called. So there are different ways to interpret that as well. I interpret it as just, as I breathe in, I try to bring in calm. It's almost like a mentalization that when I'm breathing in, I'm calming the bodily formations and fabrications, calming the body with the in-breath and the out-breath. So these are different ways that you can practice with the breath. He also talked about practicing in four different positions with the body: sitting, standing, walking, and lying down. So that's something, it's basically he's got it all covered. No matter what we're doing, if we're sitting, standing, walking, lying down, we're aware that there's a body and what it's doing. And he even went so far as to say when we're moving, when we're extending our arm, when we're bringing our arm back in, when we're moving from one place to another, when we're defecating, urinating, eating, sleeping, dressing, undressing, always knowing what's going on with this body. Susan's going to talk a little bit more about how, like the context and the sort of more detailed instructions around how to notice what's happening. But in general, knowing that there's a body and then how it's moving about or how it's being still, just understanding where we are in space and what's happening with the body. The Buddha also offered contemplations around the body that people have more different degrees of comfort with. One of them is the body parts, the bodily, what he called the 32 parts of the body. And those include like hair and nails, blood, pus, spittle, the organs, like really contemplating that that's what this body is made of. These contemplations are meant to help to break our attachment to the body. I think that's one reason that he put the body as one, as the first foundation. Well, it's readily accessible. It's right here. Everyone has one. And it's to help break that attachment that we have to this is me, this is mine. It's not changing. If it changes, it's bad, that kind of thing. So really contemplating getting real. It's about getting real with what is this body and what is it like? And it's really composed of these parts. It's not just Anna's body and that's all there is. It's changing all the time. The parts are working on their own. It's not really mine. So he brings in these bits of wisdom into the contemplation. So there's the body parts. There's also the contemplation he suggests of the four elements, which are the air, water, fire, and earth elements. And you can notice those elements in your body in practice, like the water element in the mouth, from the saliva in the mouth. The fire element is like the digestion, where the energy ramps up to help the food burn. And of course, just in regular warmth and coolness of the body, my fingertips are cool, my feet are warm, just being aware of how the body is composed of those four elements, just like the rest of the world. We're not actually separate from the rest of the world. Earth element is that heaviness, that solidness. And then the air element of the wind, gas in the body, and lightness, movement, those kind of things. So that's another contemplation. It's like a contemplation because it's conceptual, but it's also very practical. It's what's happening in the body right now. And then one of the famous ones is the death and decay, contemplating that. Contemplating, back in the day, they would go to the charnel grounds, the monks would, and they would sit with these rotting bodies and see what happened to them and say, that's going to be me. That's going to be my body. And I had a Dharma teacher suggest that today's charnel grounds are the hospitals. You know, you can go to the hospital now and experience people that are in those kind of conditions. Near death, dying, blood, illness. That's one part of reality that we often don't pay attention to. I'm fixing my windows here so I can see my notes. And you at the same time. I'm not great at it. So that's the wide variety of offerings that he has around the body. I'll just run down them really quickly again because it's so important. There is a body. Just knowing this is a body sitting. The breath, whether it's long or short, sensitive to the entire body. These are different ways of being with the body, breath. And also calming the bodily fabrication. Using the breath to calm ourselves. You know, tonight when I started that guided meditation, I thought, I'm not calm at all. I'm kind of anxious about giving this talk. And I thought, how could I calm myself. And I realized that when we do this practice, we're actually calling on something beyond our, at least that was what I felt tonight, was I was calling on something beyond the phenomena that are happening. I'm calling on kind of a deeper presence. I'm calling on a calming presence that is not, it's not conditioned. I was like, if I want to be calm, even though my heart's pounding, how is that possible? And I realized there is something else. That's what I'm trying to work on in my practice, is where is that calm core, regardless of what's happening, that equanimity that Buddha talked about. So calming the bodily fabrication, all the positions, walking, standing, lying down, sitting, and also moving about, extending the arms and retracting them, sitting, standing, all these different movements that we do. Can I be aware of, and this is great for like, where'd you put your credit card? You know, with the mindfulness of, I put the credit card in my purse. I remember doing it. So when I'm aware of what I'm doing, I remember where stuff is better. And then, like I said, the contemplations, the bodily parts, the 32 body parts, the four elements, and death and decay. Got 8 minutes left to talk about three foundations. So the second foundation, Vedana, I'll put that in the chat too, if I can. V-E-D-A-N-A, that's the Pali word for feeling tone. And let me get it in there. It refers to, it sounds like it might be emotions. It's not emotions. It refers to what's sometimes called the hedonic tone. So in anything that happens in our experience, there's going to be a thumbs up or a thumbs down or a neutral. Neutral is kind of hard to see. I'm not going to talk about that much tonight, because neutral really comes out when you can't find pleasant or unpleasant. That means it's neutral. So it's that little ooh or ugh that we get with every experience. Sometimes subtle, sometimes obvious. So you can try that right now in your experience. Feel into your body. There is a body. And I appreciate how this foundation comes out of the first one. Because I can start with the body. There is a body. And what I've got now, I've still got that anxiety. It's right in the sternum. Unpleasant. It's that simple of a practice. It's, there are feelings, just like there is a body. He's got the comment, there are feelings, meaning feeling tone, meaning pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, neither. They're bodily, like this thump in the sternum that I have, unpleasant bodily. They are also mental. I can have, ugh, I wish I hadn't said that. Thumbs down. That's an unpleasant mental Vedana. Excuse me. I can have pleasant mental Vedana. Ooh, tomorrow I'm going to have eggs for breakfast. Pleasant mental. Or, ugh, all I have is eggs. Unpleasant. And what we'll find is that these change. One of my favorite stories, I told it, I think, at the day long that we had recently. When I was a teenager, we had a family friend who, she was a grown woman, and she'd been married and divorced a couple of times, which I thought was quite scandalous. And she told me the story of how she, when she first married her first husband, she loved the smell of Polo cologne. And by the time they divorced, she hated the smell. And that was phenomenal to me. Like, I didn't really understand how that could be. Actually, my current boyfriend then he wore Polo too, and I thought it was the best. So that's how Vedana are. We learn that they're not in the object. Well, for example, I grew up in Texas where I used to eat a lot of meat. And then I've been vegetarian now for, this is 2020. I've been vegetarian for 20 years. I wouldn't want to eat meat now. It used to be pleasant and now it's unpleasant. It is not in the meat. It's in the me. So we come to understand that in a way, suffering does not come from the outside. It comes from the inside. So they can be mental or bodily. And a really great way to practice with Vedana is to watch them come and go, to really see impermanence, because they're very brief. Like that thought, like the feeling in the, actually right now, the feeling's gone in my chest. So it's already gone. I don't have unpleasant there now. So imagine if I allow myself to follow that unpleasantness. Oh, I shouldn't be doing this talk because that hurts my chest too much. I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop. I'm letting that unpleasant Vedana, which is so fleeting, control me and control my decisions. So that's the key around Vedana, is that's the beginning of when dislike turns into aversion, when liking turns into wanting and addiction, having to have. This is the key about Vedana, is that they are a place in practice where if we can start to notice them, we can start to take back control over our responses before they run over us. One last thing on Vedana is that the Buddha talked about them being both worldly and unworldly, or we could say worldly and spiritual. So for example, there's a pleasantness to eating a piece of chocolate. That would be if you like chocolate. Not everybody does. So that just shows you it's in the person. But so let's say for me, eating a piece of chocolate, pleasant, worldly, but also there is pleasant unworldly. Like I went and harvested some chanterelles on Tiger Mountain this weekend. And while we were harvesting them, I thought, I'm going to give some to Rodney and Ellen, Rodney, the founding teacher of Sims. I could not wait to get back and give them away. And that kind of joy, that generosity, that pleasantness of generosity is a spiritual pleasantness, which the Buddha talked about, the spiritual pleasantness, the unworldly pleasant Vedana of the jhanas, or these deep absorptive meditative states that he found from his own experiences were not unwholesome. This was a wholesome kind of pleasantness. 2 minutes to talk about the last two foundations. I can do it. I'm glad Susan's got 20 minutes after me. So first foundation of the body, second foundation, feeling tone, Vedana. Third foundation, the mind. There is a mind. This is one of the Buddha's instructions. There is a mind. It's actually quite refreshing to realize there is a mind, because it separates me from my mind. If there's a mind, it can be observed. It can be understood. I don't have to be under its control. So an important part of the Buddha's instructions on the mind is just to notice the mind state. We're not trying to change anything. We're not trying to get aversive or get greedy about the mind states. So some of his instructions included, notice when the mind is constricted. Notice when it's not constricted. These are interesting words that he used. Notice when the mind is scattered or not scattered. Notice when it's enlarged or not enlarged, surpassed or unsurpassed, concentrated, unconcentrated, released and not released. So he's already starting to frame the third foundation in terms of enlightenment. He's talking about the mind that is released from craving. Following on that, the fourth foundation. So that's in general. The third foundation is about mind states. And you can practice with that. When I'm angry, when I'm not angry. Oh, I notice I'm getting really irritated. Great. Just noticing that and see what happens when we just notice that. And also Susan will talk about it more too, but notice how anger comes and anger goes. It's not personal. It's not permanent. The fourth foundation is known as dhammas or dharmas, has many different translations, but the one I like is mental qualities, just mental qualities, meaning the Buddhist teachings. So I love how he did this. He says, notice all these things about your experience. And then when you notice some of my teachings, this is my understanding of it, really take note. So he suggested that we notice the teachings when they're in our own experience. Like aversion is one of the hindrances. So when I'm being notice I have aversion in the mind, then I'm actually practicing the fourth foundation, because I'm seeing one of the hindrances in my practice. So the different, this is going to be a bunch of lists, the different teachings that he suggested we look for in our practice are the five hindrances, which we're going to talk about at Buddhist Essentials next month, the five aggregates, the six sense bases, you know, the five from kindergarten plus the mind, the seven factors of awakening, the first of which is mindfulness. So when I notice I'm mindful, I'm also mindful of the fourth foundation, the four noble truths. So when I go, man, this is suffering, that's the first noble truth. This is suffering. Then I'm practicing the fourth foundation. And then just the common comment, like he had for the other foundations, there are mental qualities. Just to be aware, there are mental qualities. It helps me from getting absorbed and wrapped up in them. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. Love to talk more about it.